it's easy to find a connection between Parshas Ha'azinu and these days of judgment, starting with Rosh Hashanah in just 2 days, leading up to Yom HaKippurim. The Pasuk says in Parshas Ha'azinu, Hatzur Pamim Talo, Palo, Kichol Drachav Mishpat, Kel Emunah V'Ein Ovel. And when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment as Ein Ovel, there's no deviation from justice and from truth, the question arises, Pshita Maika Mashmalan. I mean, did we ever entertain the possibility that God would deviate from justice, there would be Ovel, there would be some terrible violation of human rights, injustice in the divine sphere? And what's the chiddush of Ein Ovel? And I want to suggest that we study, just very briefly as an introduction to today's discussion, two approaches to this question. The first approach comes from one of the great shining lights of the Musar movement, Rav Itzel Blazer, otherwise known as Rav Itzel Petterberger, a Talmud of Rav Yisrael. And he says, the pasuk in this week's parsha is comparing and contrasting human justice or human litigation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpat. In the human sphere, says Rav Itzela, it's literally impossible for a human being to judge precisely. There's always going to be overshooting or underscoring. He says, "Ein bekoach ha'adam lishkol bidigduk es godol achet." To mete out punishment for a crime in a human court, and expect that there'll be ein avel, there won't be any precise deviation or violation of truth and justice, is literally impossible. The human being, by definition, is incapable of perfect justice. The pasuk in Hazinu wants to contrast divine justice with human justice. It's absolutely miduyak, it's meticulous. I want to share with you the approach of one of the great Musa giants of our time, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zichrono Livracha. And he explains our pasuk by invoking a pasuk in Tehillim Yutes, Mishpatei Hashem Emes, Tzadku Yachtov. Says Reb Chaim, what is this phrase of David HaMelech, Tzadku Yachtov? There's a certain togetherness here, as if the pasuk was addressing itself to a family or a community. Says Reb Chaim, the greatness of God's justice is the Ein Avel. Reuven is guilty of a crime. He's punished in the court. But doesn't that punishment have a repercussion, an impact, on other members of his family, of his community, who are absolutely guiltless? The greatness of divine justice, Ein Ovel, is that Tzadku Yachtov, somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his divine infinite wisdom, is able to impose a punishment on someone, and everyone is in the cheshbon. Anyone who's going to be impacted by that punishment, he too or she too is included in the divine judgment, and therefore it's absolutely just.
If somebody goes to prison and his kids suffer, that means his kids was punished.
Yes, it's all part of a plan. Everything is gecheshbent. Even children, grandchildren, uncles, aunts, family members, friends. It's absolutely incredible. That's how great God's justice is. Again, I'm not going into the question of theodicy and the issue that perhaps you're hinting at, namely bad things happen to good people. That might have to do with issues that are Kabbalistic in nature and Gilgul, Neshamas. That's beyond our discussion. But we have to believe in the context of this pasuk that God's justice is absolutely perfect. Everyone, Tzadku Yachtov, everyone who's included. I want to refer to a different pasuk, which I think is extremely relevant to us during these days. And it appears throughout the liturgy, in the tefillos, of the whole year round. But it's especially prominent in our tefillos during these days. The pasuk is in Megillas Echa, in Perek Gimel, Nachbisa Derachenu V'Nachkora. The pasuk emphasizes our obligation to do two things. To check out our ways, V'Nachkora, and investigate them. Nachkora means to see the good side, but maybe even the flip side. And this chiyuv of chipus and chakira, which is something that applies the whole year round, and especially on a Tainis Tzibur, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainios, that we have to go out and be bodek our actions. But here, my friends, there's a special emphasis. And I'd like to underline the word darchenu. Nachbisa darchenu. It doesn't say nachkara or nachbisa ma'asenu. What are we looking at? What are we investigating? And what are we evaluating? On the one hand, it's certainly ma'aseinu, our actions, whether it be ma'ase averos, beinonim l'mokom, whether it be ma'ase beinonim l'chavero, that for sure. There's no question about that. And that requires a great deal of introspection. But beyond that, the pasuk tells us we have to investigate our derech. And what I want to share with you tonight requires a very strong stomach. Some of you may feel, you know, Rabbi Berzon, you're giving us too harsh of a Musar shmuz. But you know what? When should we give Musar if not on Erev Rosh Hashanah? And please know that this Musar is given to myself more than to anyone else. What does it mean? Nachbisa derachenu v'nachkoro. I want to begin our discussion with the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Yutes speaks about the inroads of the Tzdukim. They even reached the level of Kohanim Gedolim. And the Mishnah says that Chazal was so aware and afraid of the Tzdukim, there were institutions that were made to protect the Tzdukim. To protect, I mean to say, to make sure that the Kohen Gadol was not a Tzduki. There were so many Tzdukim. In fact, Tosfos in Masechta Yoma counts 18 Kohanim Gadolim who weren't Tzdukim during the period of over four centuries of Bayis Sheni. Make the calculation and you'll begin to see what's going on. The Gemara tells us a story, Maisa B'Tzduki Echad. And he was waiting for his first Yom HaKippurim when he served as the Kohen Gadol. He went outside of the Kodesh Kadoshim and he placed the Ketores on the fire based on the Tzduki understanding of the Parsha of Kohen Gadol. Then he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim. It's already lit. It's already on fire. And he comes out of the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Gemara describes Hayasameach Simcha Gedola. He was so proud of himself. He passed on his traditions of the Tzdukim that he inherited from his forefathers, and he instituted them and implemented them in the Beis HaMikdash. And on his way out, he meets his dad. And his father turns to him and says, Amale, Afal Pi, Shetzdukim Anu, Misyarim Anu Minaprushim. Okay, we have our shita, you know, we have our ideology of the Tzdukim, but nevertheless, you know, keep in mind, there are other chachamim and they have a different view. Are you so convinced you have no fear? And the son, the Kohen Gadol, responds and he says, and listen to the language, you'll all tell me exactly what it reminds you of. Kol yomai ha'isi mitztar al mikra zeh. Kibanan eroa alakapores. All my years I was waiting to fulfill the mitzvah as the Torah gives it. Ba'anan eroi al ha-kapors. I come into the Kodesh Kedoshim and the smoke is already going up. V'lo esmach? Amarti, masai yovol liyodi v'akaymenu v'yachshav shebol liyodi lo ha-kaymenu v'simcha? And the Gemara goes on to tell us, lo ha-yomim mu'atim, it didn't take too long. Ad shemes v'hutol ba'ashpa. His body was left to rot. Ha-yutolayim yotzim michotmo. Rashi says, why from his nose? Because that's the first thing that enters into the Kodesh Kadoshim, is the nose. I guess if we're talking about a skinny person. Imagine, this Stuki believed in his ideology, in his way of life. He was so dedicated, he was waiting, counting the moments, until he could finally fulfill what he believed was the Avodas Yom HaKippurim with all its glory. He comes out and he tells Dad, I am absolutely overwhelmed with joy. And the punishment is so severe. Again, I'm not going to go into questions here about punishment and after death, and you know what the neshama feels when the guf is being subjected to all this kind of repulsive punishment. That's a different question. But one thing is clear, the punishment for this stuki is very severe. And you and I might ask the question, wait a minute, call him a Tinok Shenishba? I mean, after all, he was brought up in this philosophy. But his father already pointed out to him, don't you know that there's another way of understanding the Torah, that of the Prushim? Are you so cocksure of yourself, to pardon the expression? Are you so convinced you have no Yira? And the answer, I believe, Rabosai, lies in this pasuk in Eicha that has to come and haunt us during these days. Nachbisa Durachenu. Durachenu means not just our actions. Durachenu means our way of life, our behavior patterns, every decision that we face. What schools to send that children to. How to raise them. Who to marry, what jobs to take, and where to live. And you know what? Maybe I won't sound like such a tzioni tonight if I tell you that there may be situations in which a person could have more of an impact in Chutz Laretz, but he believes in the philosophy of living in Eretz Yisrael. And it could go the reverse. Every person has to investigate and see, is he fulfilling the way of Hashem? I want to share with you an insight that I found in the Ibn Ezra regarding Yaakov Avinu. I'm sorry, I can't hear myself. Just one second. The pasuk says in Bereishis Lamed Beis, Pes Pasuk Ches, and we all know the Rashi, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayatzer Lo. Yaakov is overwhelmed with fear. And I think the topic of fear in our context today, as we come hours before the Yom HaDin, is appropriate. I like to talk about Ava. We'll talk about Ava a little bit later. But let's focus on Yira. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu is afraid. Shemi Yigro Machet. Imagine the great Yaakov Avinu. This is the individual who comes out of Beis Lavan for 2 decades and says, "Im Lavan Garti V'Tarik Mitzvah Shamarti." But he's afraid. Shemi Yigro Machet. And it never made sense to me until I saw one word in the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra writes, "Eich Pachad Yaakov." Vashem Ivticho V'Amar Eya Imcha, says the Ibn Ezra, Yaakov Pochad Shema Shogag B'Machshavto. I want to emphasize the word Machshavto. The emphasis here is not on Maisav. Of course Yaakov Avinu fulfilled the Tariq Mitzvah. He himself knows and he testifies to that effect. But where is his Machshava? Where is his decision-making process? I'll give you just one example here, and this is not I'm not on a tirade against Yaakov Avinu. I'm a big fan of Yaakov Avinu. But Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu was wrong when he put Dina in the Teva. Had Esav laid eyes on Dina and maybe married Dina, who knows how the history of man would have changed. What impact and influence she could have had on Esav. Now, I wouldn't critique Yaakov for that. I think a father has to protect his daughter. But Chazal have a wisdom that goes beyond our comprehension. And within the divine scheme of things, perhaps Yaakov Avinu was somewhat guilty. Maybe there was a nidnut avera over here, but it had a tremendous repercussion down the line. It's interesting, I want to emphasize another word. In Chazal, you'll see it in Rashi, and also in this Ibn Ezra that we quoted. Shema Shagag. Do you know what that means, Rabosai? Shema Shagag, maybe he was a Shogeg? It really means that A, he didn't know that he did any sins. He was totally unaware of any sin. He thought that every single decision that he made was, as we say in Yiddish, Eisgehalten. It was absolutely correct. And it was the fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem. But Shema Yigrom, Shema Chota, B'Shogeg B'Machshavta. Had Yaakov known that he sinned, there's no question about it, he would have done tshuva. So the punishment that Yaakov is afraid of, and in this case it's total destruction that he's afraid of, it means Knesset Yisrael is out. Because without Yaakov Avinu, there's no Knesset Yisrael. And all this is because of a sin that maybe took place, maybe, and that Yaakov Avinu is unaware of. He's not aware of the sin. Ribono Shel Olam. Rabbi Yonah writes all these treatises that a person can't do the avod in the Mikdash, but if he feels that if he only had the opportunity, he would do so, is Milo of a custom the Torah considers if he did it. Now why not apply that rule to Yaakov Avinu? Say that if he would have known that he sinned, he certainly would have done tshuva, so consider it as if he did tshuva for that which he didn't know of, he was unaware of. But no. Yaakov says that there's a very severe judgment here because maybe my machshava, maybe my decisions, maybe my way of life, my ideology and my philosophy errs. It somehow is not correct. And a person has to do chipus and chakira on his derech. And if he doesn't do the proper chakira, if he doesn't check her out, as we say, in the world of shiduchim, then he's gonna be held liable for an avera b'shogeg of negligence, of not fulfilling his obligation to investigate to the nth degree. And I mentioned before the education of one's children. And sometimes young people have a tendency of brushing it over. Yeah, I heard it's a good school, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And again, Rabosa, I'm talking to myself here. Did you go down to the school? Did you meet the Rebbeim? Did you sit in classes? Did you get the feeling of the ambiance of the school? And we can give 1,001 examples of our negligence because we don't step up to the plate and check things out. We're too lazy, or we rely on our wives maybe, I don't know who, let the vibe do it. There's no excuse. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu makes the cheshbon. Chazal tell us, the reason why he didn't circumcise his son is because he was afraid that would slow up the whole process of Geula. He was on his way on a trek to Mitzrayim. There was no time for Mila now. So he made a cheshbon. And yet Chazal say he made a tremendous mistake and the punishment was severe. And Rabosai, the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, and we've mentioned it and spoken about it dozens of times, that Avram Avinu chata chet gadol b'shkaga, because Avram Avinu left Eretz Yisrael because of the famine. Says the Ramban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him the land. And the Rabban's language is so beautiful when he says, Ki Elokim bara'av yifdenu mimaves. Doesn't Avram Avinu understand that God could save him from famine? Where's the Midas HaBitachon? And the Ramban goes on to say that because the sin was in Eretz Mitzrayim, that's why the descendants of Avram Avinu are going to suffer the gullus of Mitzrayim in that place, because b'makom achet shama mishpat. That's where God is going to take the retribution is going to be. Chet gadol chata Avram Avinu b'shkaga. But the answer is, when it comes to a derech of chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, you are going to be blessed with the land of Israel. His halich lefanai, the yes samim, rely on me. And Avram Avinu checks out because of the famine. And don't think for one moment that Avram Avinu wasn't well thought out. He certainly made the calculation. I mean, the sugyan yevamis derives tili tilim halachas from when you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, what the level of the famine is, and where was Avram holding. It was all crystal clear. But nevertheless, says the Ramban, Again, it's a dake dakus. We can't even comprehend it. But on Avraham Avinu's level of Ashrei Agever Asher Yiftach Bashem, he was short. He came short change when it came to the Midah Bitachon, especially with regard to Eretz Yisrael. And I've heard from Jews, because we went through a very difficult war here, as you all know, and the fear of the enemy is tremendous. I mean, again, now we're living in some sort of euphoria because of the so-called ceasefire. But the reality is that it's, you know, lo pashut, as we say, al pi derech hateva. And if we don't rely on bitachon when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, I don't know what we're relying on. But in any event, it's a very tricky situation. The Gemara in Chagiga, I want to share with you, on Daf Dalet Amid Beis, tells us something amazing about Shmuel Anavi. Shmuel Anavi is afraid of what? Of the din. Why is Shmuel Anavi afraid of the din? And the answer is because he's not sure if he made the right judgment calls. And I'll quote to you the language of Chazal in the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara says that Shmuel was afraid, Shema kach v'kach dorashti. I was dorish. And Shmuel calls upon Moshe Rabbeinu, according to this Chazal. And he hopes that Moshe Rabbeinu will come forward and say, you know what? All your decisions, Shmuel, and all your judgments were correct. Why does Shmuel turn to Moshe Rabbeinu? Lefiani is daiti. The answer is partial. Moshe Rabbeinu is the final authority on Torah. And the question is, within the framework of the rules and regulations that govern our lives and govern our decision-making processes, did Shmuel Anavi make the right decision? Moshe Rabbeinu has to be consulted. But other than that, he's afraid of din. And what does the Gemara tell us in Brachos about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his deathbed? He starts crying, he's overwhelmed by fear, and his Talmidim surround him and they say, Rebbe, Bishah Achas, in 1 minute, you'll be in the bosom of Hashem and you're afraid? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Ilu b'fnei basam adam, if I was being brought in front of a human king, would I not be overwhelmed by fear? A human king who's here tomorrow, today and God tomorrow, how much more so with a Kal V'chomer in front of the Melech Malchei Amlochim? And what's he afraid of? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, there's no question about it. So what is he afraid of? And the answer, I think, could only be the following. That even though he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, but nevertheless, his pachad was of toes. Maybe I made a mistake in my Avodas Hashem. Did I do the right thing? Did I treat my Talmidim properly? Did I establish my yeshiva in the right way? Did I have a close connection with my balabatim in the community and guide them out of love? Did I come to mistaken decisions because I didn't clarify? I wasn't yored la'omek hadavar. Is all this requires a tremendous sense of shema yigra machet, of nachra derachenu, Vinashuva. I want to raise the following question with you, and I think, having given this introduction, we can now lead into this question. We talk about tshuva in terms of, first and foremost, charata al ha'avar. The Rambam writes that charata is an integral part of tshuva. Rabbi Yonah expands upon it in his Shari Tshuva. We have to feel remorse and regret for the past. In a sense, I think we would have to submit the following conclusion. That tshuva, insofar as charata, is the first stage in the process, and fulfilling nachra d'rachenu v'nashuva, requires a person to, in a sense, step out of himself. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and many other places, Adam karavet zalatzmo, a man is posel yedus, he cannot testify in his own behalf. How can we possibly see and evaluate our actions when a person is karavet zalatzmo? He's an ogea b'dom. The ein lecha nogea gadol mizeh? And the only answer is he's got to sort of step out of himself and examine himself objectively. You know, that's a difficult challenge for one to be objective about himself. And it puts the entire endeavor, the entire process of tshuva into question. Who can reach this level of tshuva? And I want to share with you an insight from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik that I heard many, many years ago in a tshuva drasha. Subsequently, it was put together by Pinchas Pelli, may rest in peace, in a beautiful work called Ala Tshuva, which he translated from the Yiddish into the Hebrew. And it's more than that. He did more than just translate. He organized it. The Rav is bothered by what seems to be an open, explicit contradiction in the Rambam from Perek Aleph to Perek Beis in Hilchos Tshuva about the very nature of tshuva. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, Mehilchos Tshuva, in Halacha Aleph, writes that there is a seder to tshuva, there's a sequence, and we got to begin with Charata Ala Avar, which means Nichamti in the Rambam's language, Boshti B'masai, I feel remorse and regret, even self-humiliation, because I look at my past. Then the Rambam says, he goes on to Kabbalah Alahaba. And the Rambam says, Liolam Eini Chozel Adover, said this is all part of the nature of Vidui and the Rambam's Nusach HaVidui. Then fast forward for a moment to Perek Beis, Halacha Beis Milchus Tshuva. And there the Rambam writes, Maya Tshuva. And the Rambam has a different sequence. Here, he begins with Kabbalah Lahaba, Sheyazav Achotei Cheto V'yasiru Machshavta V'yigmar B'libo Shelo Yaseu Od. And then afterwards, and only afterwards, the Rambam says, Charata V'chen Yisnachim Ala Avar. So what will it be? Will it be Charata and then Kabbalah? Or will it be Kabbalah and then Charata? The Rambam should have taken a clear position on that question because Seder HaTshuva is critical. So the Rav in that Tshuva Drasha, many, many years ago, learned with us a Ramban about the Parsha of Nidorim, and specifically the Parsha of Heter Nidorim, Hataras Nidorim, which we're going to do here to Hashem, Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban points out that there are two major categories of Hataras Nidorim. One is called Pesach, and the other is called Tovs. Okay? You'll find in the Mishnah in Nidorim, sometimes it says Poschin Lo, and that's called Pesach. And then there's another concept called Tovs. And the Rav asks the following question. What's the difference on a psychological level between Pesach and Charata or Tovs? He says in the case of Pesach, the Chacham investigates the Noder and he asks him the following question. When you took the Neder, were you aware of all the facts on the ground? For example, you have a case like Yiftach HaGilad, you know, where a man says, you know, anyone in this room will be enjoined from having any pleasure from me. And then he finds out, lo and behold, his father is in the room, or his own children are in the room. He didn't know about that. Okay, that's called a Pesach. There was a lack of awareness, a lack of knowledge. Then there's something called Charata, or Tovs. Well, actually, I shouldn't call it Tovs. I should call it Charata because Tovs is probably more connected to Pesach. Let's call it Charata, just so I shouldn't be ambiguous here. In Charata, what happens is there was no mistake in the original Neder. All the facts on the ground were known. What happens is that a person changes his personality, his mood, his attitude, and basically his capability to uphold the Neder. And he says to the Chacham, you know, in my state today, I couldn't have possibly lived up to the Neder. Maybe then I was able to, but today I can't. That's a whole different type of Hataras Nedarim. And then the Chacham will investigate this, and he'll come to the conclusion that maybe he was, you know, when he took the Neder not to smoke, he was so enthused and energized, he would be able to refrain from smoking. But today, you know, he's more anxious or whatever it be, he has to smoke. So the Chacham creates out of this charata, he creates a toast. And he says, look, if at the time you took the neder, would you have known how difficult it is and how impossible it is for you to fulfill the neder? And finally, he convinces the Chacham that had he known where he would be holding today, he wouldn't have taken the neder. The Rav says the following, that there's a fundamental difference, worlds apart, between Pesach and Charata. Pesach is an intellectual knowledge, it's in the mind. And a person could say, objectively, there was a mistake here. I was unaware of the facts, X, Y, and Z. I never would have taken this neder, had I only known. That's an easy one. Then there's something called Charata. Charata is more complicated. True, I was aware of everything. There was no mistake in my knowledge. Okay? Where does Charata come from? It's not from the intellect. All the facts were known. Charata comes from regesh, from the feelings of a person. A person feels in his new state he cannot fulfill this neder. He has changed, if we could say it, emotionally, and in his new emotional makeup or state of being, he doesn't have the ability to fulfill and implement the commitment that he took in this neder. The Rav says that there are two types of tshuva, just like there are two categories of hataras nedar. There's the tshuva of Perek Aleph that begins with Charata. There's the tshuva of Perek Beis that begins with Kabbalah La'asit. I'm going to reverse the order. The tshuva of Kabbalah La'asit of Perek Beis is the tshuva of Pesach. It's the tshuva that's intellectual. It's the tshuva in which man becomes, so to speak, a third party to himself. He's able to analyze his own being and his own faults, his own averos, and he can say, you know what? I got to change. There's a Kabbalah La'asit. The tshuva of Perek Aleph that begins with Charata is a totally different type of tshuva. There the process begins with regesh, with the emotions. A person wakes up in the morning, right after sin, and he realizes that he was just involved in something repulsive. He feels emotionally, how could I have done such a thing? You know, Rav Avram Danzig, who's known for, of course, the Chai Adam, is also the author of the Tefillah Zaka that will, Mirtz Hashem, recite, if you have that minog, before we enter into Kol Nidre night, into night of Yom Kippur. There's an amazing line over there in the Chai Adam, in the Bala Chai Adam. He says, Tomesi al Atzmi Eich Nasasa Toeva Zos. How was I capable of reaching that low level of that aver? My friends, I think when we talk about Nachpesa Durachenu V'Nachkora, the Pasuk in Eicha that we began with, we can talk about two different types of tshuva and two different experiences of charata. One experience of tshuva is that I somehow objectively am able to look at my actions, look at my Derech HaChaim. I can examine and introspect about my decisions in life and realize that I didn't do my due diligence. I'm guilty of some level of negligence. And that's why intellectually, as an objective bystander, analyzing around, looking around me and seeing where this led me, I made a big mistake. If only I was aware of the facts on the ground. If only I had done my research. That's intellectual tshuva. That's the tshuva of Kabbalah La'asid in Perek Beis. But there's a different type of tshuva. I'm incapable of being objective. I look at my emotional makeup, but I realize emotionally, as the Israelis say, fair. How could I have done such a thing? It's absolutely repulsive. It's disgusting. You know, the story of Tamar and Amnon, they had relations together, and all of a sudden, a brother and a sister, and he wakes up the next morning, and after his drunkenness has subsided, he realizes, how could I have done such a thing? It's absolutely disgusting. It's repulsive. That's the charata al-avar. That's the emotional tshuva. I want to raise with you the following question. I hinted at it before. We're talking so much about evaluating our past and going down on ourselves, if I can use that term. And we live in a society which, and I've spoken to professionals about this, what's rampant in terms of what we're suffering from is low self-esteem, low self-confidence. Comes the mitzvah of tshuva and says, dwell on the past. Charot alav. Yeah, that's great. Except I have low self-confidence. So how am I going to experience, on the one hand, charata, on the other hand, build myself up? Dwell on the past sins. Remember all the mess-ups I have. And if I don't remember them, I'll be reminded by close relatives around me, because they certainly remember if I forgot. And at the same time, to have confidence in myself. To build a belief in myself. The mitzvah of tshuva requires simcha. And I want to illustrate this, I want to quote to you a line that I found in one of the Achronim, the Yitav Panim. He writes, Tzarech ha'adam lashuv b'tshuva bi'ava u'besimcha u'lekarev atzma l'lokim. I don't understand, how do I reconcile this? Charot ala avar with simcha? It's an amazingly difficult concept to understand. And I want to share with you something else. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, which is one of my favorites. B'shimcha yagilun kol hayom. Do you remember this pasuk? I mean, it should remind you of something that we do on Rosh Hashanah. I want to quote two old sources from 5 centuries ago. The Sefer Arokech in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah writes that after we blow the tkiyah, and as an introduction, we quote the pasuk, Ol Elokim B'Trua. Trua is a very hard sound, you know, very emotionally difficult sound. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rokeach, based on Chazal, is Ole V'Yoshev Al Kisei Adin, U'B'Shosh Yisrael Notlim Shofar V'Tokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omei Mikisei Adin V'Yoshev Al Kisei Arachamim V'Kol Shofar. And then afterwards we say, Ashrei Om Yodei Trua, Yodei Trua, Biar Panecha Yisalechun. And then we recite the pasuk of Shimcha, of Ki B'Shimcha Yagilun Kol Ayom, Yagilun Milashon Simcha. I'll quote another contemporary, the Avudraham writes 5 centuries ago, V'Achar Sheyigmar Atkios. He's talking about the tkiyos, the miyushav, before we get to the Seder HaBrachos. He says, Omer Hashatz, Ashrei Om Yodei Trua. And then he says, B'Shimcha Yagilun Kol Ayom. On this pasuk, B'Shimcha Yagilun Kol Ayom, which I believe, if I remember correctly, is in Kapitel Pei Tes, don't quote me on that. There's a famous vart from the Bretzlava, Likutei Maran. It's quoted in all the old Svarim. The Likutei Maran says that if you take the Rashi Tevos of B'Shimcha Yagilun Kol Ayom, you've got the Beis, the Yud, the Chaf, and the Hey, and those are Rashi Tevos B'Chia. Very strange. We're crying. I mean, that does reflect the true Ashrei Om Yodei Trua. The true is Bechia, Ginuchi Ganech, Yulia Yolil, whatever it might be. But certainly the true reflects our overwhelming sense of Bechi. Our hearts are actually broken when we hear the true. And yet, these letters, Bechia, are the Rashi Tevos of B'Shimcha Yagilun Kol Ayom. What an amazing paradox. And perhaps the B'Shimcha here, if I can throw out a surmise, I guess, is the same Yudke Vavke. In other words, you know, we're talking about Ola Elokim B'Trua, that's the name of Din. Trua is related to Din. But there's another name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Shimcha. B'Shimcha means the holiest name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke. That represents the meter of compassion. Somehow, through our Tkia Shofar, nay, through our Bechia in the Kiyum of Trua, we are able to accomplish an unbelievable thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the Kisei Adin and sits on the Kisei Arachamim, it's Elokim to Yudke Vavke, And now it's b'shimcha yagiu in kol hayom. So in the b'chia, there's inherent in the b'chia, the crying, a tremendous sense of simcha. A man comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he does one of two paradigmic types of tshuva. Either he does tshuva of Perek Beis, Milchus tshuva, tshuva of Kabbalah Asa, the intellectual tshuva of Pesach, and he says to himself, I've got to change my decision-making process. I made some really, really big boners, my really big mistakes. Or he does the tshuva of Perek Aleph, Eich Nesesah Toeva Zos. How did I mean, I'm emotionally, I'm on a different level today. I'm on the level of B'Shimcha Yagil and Kol Hayom, I'm close to Hashem. Why did I fall prey to the forces of evil and reach this low state? But whichever level of tshuva or type of tshuva he does, he ends up with an experience of simcha, of yagil and kol hayom, because he realizes that there's such a thing called midas hachesed, there's midas harachamim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you come with a contrite heart and you're willing to do tshuva, whether it be this type of tshuva or the other type of tshuva, you're coming close to Hashem. Tshuva kimashma milashon lashuv. And I want to share with you the insight of one of the great rebbes in Chassidus. I mentioned it last week, but I don't know if you heard it. It's worth repeating. The Slonimer Rebbe says the following. Hashem melech, it's important to put the vowels correctly, Hashem molach, Hashem yimloch yolam void. Three tenses. Says the Slonimer Rebbe, whenever you see the word Hayom, it's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. And there are so many references in Tanakh. Using the word Hayom, and Chazal say it refers to Rosh Hashanah. B'shimcha yagilu kol Hayom, that's the Yom of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is called Hayom. Because in Rosh Hashanah, it's the now. It's the hove, it's the moment in front of us. Which even Gaviral is saying, Kerif Ayin. All time dimensions converge in one moment. Past, present, and future. If I declare Hashem Melech, now, God, you are my king, you are my sovereign ruler, I am totally dedicated to your will, then Hashem Molech in the past, any decisions that I made in the past that violate your will, retroactively become Hashem Molech. You are my king. You are my king now and you are my king yesteryear. And Hashem Yimloch Yolam Vayet. The Rambam writes that if a person comes with a true, genuine, sincere tshuva, then Yoid Olav Yodea Talumos Sheli Olam Enechozil Adover Zeh. Man can reach this level of tshuva with intellectual approach to tshuva, with the emotional level of tshuva, until the point in which Hashem Yimloch Yolam Vayet. And the Slonimer goes on to say that in the parsha of Mitzora, there's Taras HaMetzorah, and there it says B'yom Taraso. Yom Taraso means that the Metzorah doesn't have to dwell on his sins of the past that led him to the level of punishment of being Metzorah, struck by Metzorah. No! B'yom Taraso. It's what he feels now. On this day he's purified. He's uplifted, he's inspired, and on that level he can rewrite the past. And he can guarantee with the resolution for the future. That's the Yom Taraso. My friends, we have to come to Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Haras Olam. This is the day. And we don't have to dwell in the past. We don't have to relive the past for every second and blow ourselves and deflate our egos. Our egos are already well deflated. We already have been hard on ourselves. Daiva Hoser. What we need now is to build ourselves up. We need now to project ourselves and energize ourselves for the future. What we need is a charata which will project us to the future. You know what kind of charata can project us on the future when we declare in front of Hashem, you know what? I'm going to examine my ways. I'm going to look and see if I made the right decisions in life, if I'm on the right path, if I'm on the right to derech, nachmasa derecheinu v'nashuva. And if we do this chakira, and if we can look at ourselves either outside of ourselves objectively, or if on an emotional level, without objectifying ourselves, with an adam karvei tzal atzma, but we know that what we did in the past was not right, and now I want to dedicate myself to the future, then it's Hashem Melech. And if it's Hashem Melech, then it's Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimolech, Le'olam Vo'ed. I want to take a break now and stop for questions. If Rabosa, you could do me a favor and either send me a chat, or even better, you can excellent, David. I had it in mind, but I forgot. I'm so glad you pointed it out to me. Atem nitzav hayom. We started with the Parshas Hazinu. Now we have to go back to last week's Parsha. 2 days ago, we read Parshas Nitzavim. The Ramban says Parshas Nitzavim is the Parsha of the mitzvah of tshuva. And it says, Atem nitzavim hayom, according to the Zohar. Hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. And on this day of Rosh Hashanah of Nitzavim, all the generations, past, present, and future, are together. It's again that one moment that integrates all time dimensions together. And if that be the case, then Atem Nitzavim is a perfect reflection of what Tshuva is all about. It's Hayom. And the Hayom of Yom HaKippurim is different than the Hayom of Rosh Hashanah. The Hayom of Rosh Hashanah is the Hayom of coming to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves. It's the shofar of Malchios, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to coronate the king, each one individual in the Tekiyos Demiyushav, and as a community in the Tekiyos Demiyushav, I'll say to our brachos, we're declaring Hashem, you are a Melech. We are declaring that we want to be dedicated to you, God. You are our king, our sovereign ruler. Anything that I did in the past, any sort of rebellion, I'm here to rectify it. I'm here to dedicate myself to do better. Of course, we have to have what's called in modern Hebrew a tochnit shikum. If a person wants to stop smoking, he can't just say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to stop smoking." He's got to have how do you say in English a tochnit shikum?
A rehab project,
right? Rehab. He's got to have a policy. He's got to be focused on something. If it's Malchus, let it be Malchus. Whatever it is, he's got to give all of his energy to that Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day of Rosh Hashanah, on the day of Hayom. And that's what I want to wish everyone a great bracha. And I want to say Yashikot to everyone who came. And even if you had a problem with your camera, Jeremy, it doesn't matter. It's just that for me, it would be a little bit more, geschmack, as they say, if I could see you. I mean, that's cool. In any event, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a very successful Hayom in 2 days' time in Mirz Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our declaration of Hashem Melech. And as a result, He should bring us closer to Him through the process of tshuva. It should be a process of tshuva shel ava, a tshuva shel simcha, of b'shimcha yagilun kol hayom, through the trua, through the bechia, through the midas hadin, we bring our Kodesh Baruch to the midas harachamim, and He'll have compassion to love us, and write us in the Sifrei Chaim for ourselves, our families, and for all of Klal Yisrael, especially Klal Yisrael here in Eretz Yisrael. Kein Yiratzon. Amen.